Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Wednesday morning, Illinois has had more than 13,500 confirmed cases of coronavirus disease. The most recent announcement from the Illinois Department of Public Health came on Tuesday afternoon, and it also included the highest one-day total of 73 additional deaths, bringing the state's total of COVID-19 fatalities to 380. A disproportionate share of those deaths are among people of African American descent. We'll talk more about why the coronavirus pandemic is taking a greater toll on that community later this hour. And this week, for Jews and many Christians, it's among the holiest times of the year. We'll also talk about marking Passover and Easter at a time of social distancing. But first, as Illinoisans continue to be under a stay-at-home order to stop the spread of the virus, for some young people, home isn't always the safest place. Calls to the Illinois Child Abuse Hotline have declined by about half since the start of the coronavirus pandemic. That may sound like a good thing, but advocates say it is not that child abuse is decreasing, but it's more likely that kids are not interacting with people like teachers or counselors who are required to report abuse and neglect when they see it. Dua Eldeeb is a journalist at ProPublica Illinois and reported on the story. Dua, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Also joining us is Denise McCaffrey, Executive Director of Prevent Child Abuse Illinois. Denise, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Do I want to begin with you? You reported a story for ProPublica Illinois about how calls to the DCFS child abuse hotline actually decreased by about half. When did they start going down?
Pretty much immediately. So if you look at the week-by-week numbers, the week before schools shut down and kids were not being seen by their teachers and counselors, DCFS had received more than 6,000 calls to the hotline to report allegations of abuse and neglect. That next week, were closed on that Tuesday. That week, the numbers went down by 45% to a little over 3,000.
And we might, as I said, we might think that calls going down is a good thing, but that seems not to be the case. Can you explain to us why that is?
Sure. Yeah. So I talked to, a number of experts and people who work with children, and they're saying their greatest concern is it's really because children are out of the public eye. And so many of the calls that they normally get are from counselors and social workers and doctors and nurses. And now because children aren't in front of those same people, they're not getting the same amount of calls. And, DCFS is saying we know that the rate of abuse and neglect hasn't gone down. It's just the reporting. And that's what has everyone so concerned.
And I think you kind of got at this in what you said there, but can you just help us understand who exactly are mandatory reporters? What does that mean?
Sure. So the law requires mandated reporters to notify DCFS if they have what's known as like a reasonable cause to believe that a child is being abused or neglected. And so mandated reporters are people who interact with children in a professional or official capacity. So think of, like we said, doctors, nurses, dentists, counselors, police, clergy, daycare providers. And so if any of them, during their interactions with a child has, reason to believe that a child is being abused or neglected, by law, they have to report that to DCFS. And then DCFS will determine, if that information is enough to trigger an investigation.
Okay. And we're also joined by Denise McCaffrey, Executive Director of Prevent Child Abuse Illinois. And Denise, I want to ask you, has your agency been discussing a similar drop in reporting since kids have been told to stay home from school?
Absolutely. And this is not unique to Illinois. We are part of a larger national network, and we're seeing this trend across all of the states in the U.S.
And can you put a number on it? How does this, how does this number manifest itself? Is it a drop of half or a smaller percentage, a bigger percentage?
It varies across the states, but as you were saying here in Illinois, it is about half. And it is very concerning because we know that, families are under a lot of stress now that we're sheltering in place. And kids are under stress too. We forget that they aren't seeing their friends. They aren't keeping up with their normal routines. Even small children and infants can sense the increased stress in parents. So that affects their behavior. They might be acting out. They might be more clingy, but that adds to a parent's stress. So we're very worried about the kids that are home.
So who, and we just heard about mandated reporters from Duo, but who are those the people who call these hotlines most often?
Yes, the largest percentage of calls to the hotline do come from mandated reporters.
Okay, do I want to ask you, what did you hear from mandated reporters, teachers, school counselors when you were reporting on your story?
So they're worried. You know, I talked to, you know, a teacher and a counselor that I, you know, quoted in the story, and basically they're saying, you know, they had children that, you know, before this happened that they were worried about, but they would be able to check in with them during the school day. And now their only way to really check on them is through, you know, official school emails. And so they've reached out to them. They're doing their best that they can, but they're, you know, they're limited in how much they can actually reach out to these kids. And so they're really worried as well.
And I understand that one social worker in Chicago told you that school workers are kind of the agency's eyes and ears. Are you hearing anything in particular from social workers?
So social workers are, you know, represent a big portion of the people who are reporting, and these are social workers at schools or at hospitals. And so, again, I think that, you know, the theme from every person is really the same. We're worried. And, you know, they... What I've heard from DCFS is, you know, in April, they're starting to see an even more severe or steep drop in the numbers. And while they see this kind of a similar pattern during the summer, you know, when kids are out of school, the concern is now because of the added pressure, the economic pressure, the, you know, kind of mental and physical pressure at home, being at home, especially people are losing their jobs. They're worried that that could even exacerbate things more.
And Dua, you heard from a Chicago children's advocate that specifically economic stress, which obviously a lot of people are feeling right now, record unemployment claims in Illinois and across the country, but you heard that economic stress can really, you know, increase rates of child abuse in particular.
Absolutely. So, you know, this is something that you see, for example, in times of recession, and so you're seeing it again now. And, you know, when families are worried about putting food on the table, when families are, you know, having to choose between going to work or feeling like they're getting, you know, they're putting their health at risk or the health of their families at risk, it really increases the level of stress, the level of just kind of frustration at home, which, you know, even for the most well-intended parents can really blow up at the worst times.
Denise, you mentioned family stress and, you know, stress among children, stress among parents, but there's another situation where if parents do have to work in jobs where they can't stay at home and kids aren't in school, they may be with an alternate caregiver, and that can be concerning too, right, Denise?
Oh, absolutely. That is a big concern of ours because we do have parents that are still working and they might be leaving their children with caregivers that they don't know very well, or caregivers that are inexperienced. They may be leaving kids with older siblings that are inexperienced and may pose a threat to the children. Oftentimes we see that pedophiles who might be wanting to do some harm to a child through child sexual abuse will be the first to offer to babysit for that child. So we really urge parents to be careful who they're leaving their kids with. And there's things they can do to check in with their kids. How did it go today? How do you feel staying with this person? Tell me what you guys did today. So there's things parents can do to safeguard against this, but we're really worried about who the kids are staying with right now.
So let's talk about that, Denise. What is your agency doing to try and address this? I mean, without having mandatory reporters, what do you hope people will do?
Well, we really, you know, we're like everyone else. We're on social media. We're trying to get the word out to parents. And we're really encouraging everyone to reach out to family, friends, and neighbors that they know of that have kids. Check in with them. Ask them how they're doing. See if you can help in any way. So we are really encouraging people to be in contact, watch out for those kids, and really help parents as well. See if you can reduce some of the stress they're under.
And I don't know if you can give sort of, you know, obviously mandated reporters go through a lot of training, I would imagine, but you know, for the everyday person, what are some things that people should be looking out for? What are some signs that there might be a problem?
You know, signs and symptoms of child abuse and neglect are always really hard. If there's physical abuse, you will probably see some physical signs, some bruising, some marks on the children that don't match the child's story. Maybe they have bruising on multiple spots on their body. Those are the easy things to look for. A lot of child abuse and neglect have no signs, and you'll have to really pay attention to the child's behavior. Are they acting differently than they did before? Are they shying away? Is the parent keeping the child isolated? Maybe you can't see the child. You want to FaceTime and they say, oh no, they're asleep right now, and they won't let you see the child. Pay attention to little things that are red flags that make you worry about that child's safety.
And Denise, what if a parent is feeling particularly stressed right now? What should they do?
Well, you know, parenting is the hardest job we'll ever do, no matter what. Just being a caregiver for a child is hard work, and it is stressful on a day-to-day basis. And right now, we are all under so much more stress than we were. And I think that parents need to, if you're feeling stressed, reach out for help. It's hard to do. It's hard to ask someone for help, but it's important. If you really feel that you are in danger or you have hurt your child, call the child abuse hotline. If you feel you just need to talk to someone, talk through some different parenting techniques, things you can do, there are helplines out there that parents can reach out to.
And do it. What are you hearing from the state, from DCFS, the Department of Children and Family Services, about how they are going to address this problem as the people that they normally count on, the mandated reporters, have gone down and have lost contact with a lot of the kids?
So what they're saying is right now more than ever, they're really relying on family members and neighbors and close friends to report any suspicion to the hotline. One of the things that really stood out to me was this idea that, you know, don't assume somebody else will report it. You know, you have a suspicion, but you think, oh, maybe it's not exactly what I think it is, or maybe somebody else will report it. They're saying, really, you might be the only person to see it, so report it. And it's not, you know, it's not just because you report it doesn't mean that automatically, you know, they'll investigate. They have their criteria, so don't worry about kind of over-reporting at this point.
And Denise, I wonder, based on what Dua just said there, I got to imagine there's a huge sort of internal pressure. People feel like, oh gosh, I really don't want to bring this on that family. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. How do you navigate that? How do you overcome that? What I would imagine is intense pressure to not report, unless there's, you know, obviously clear and convincing evidence that there's something wrong. But if you just have a suspicion, how do you deal with that?
Right. Well, you know, we use the taglines that all children deserve great childhoods, and we all have a role to play in keeping children safe. And I think that you have to err on the side of the child. You might be that child's only lifeline. You really might be. And, you know, it is important to make that call. You don't have to have proof. You just have to suspect. And we're always telling people that err on that side of the child, keep them safe.
Only about a minute left, but Denise, this is Child Abuse Awareness Month, April is. How is this different this year?
Well, it's different because we're not able to be out in large gatherings, doing trainings, pulling people together, holding rallies or kickoff events. And so we are really relying on getting the word out through emails, social media, word of mouth, planting pinwheel gardens, tying blue ribbons. We're really encouraging everyone to do what I mentioned earlier. Check on your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Really reach out, offer support to families and people that are home with their kids that might be experiencing stress.
Okay. Denise McCaffrey is the Executive Director of Prevent Child Abuse Illinois. We also spoke with Dua Eldeeb, who's a reporter with ProPublica Illinois. She's been talking with us. They've both been talking with us about a decline in calls to the DCFS Child Abuse Hotline, which advocates worry is a sign that it is not being reported, not that child abuse is actually decreasing. Denise, Dua, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And if you suspect child abuse or you feel that a child is being neglected or is at risk, please do call the Illinois Child Abuse Hotline. The number is 800-25-ABUSE. That's 800-252-2873. 25-ABUSE. And we want to remind you that every Thursday on the 21st, we're going to be having a different conversation about mental health amid the coronavirus pandemic. Tomorrow, we're going to be hearing from people going through recovery and speak with addiction experts. If you would like to share your experience or you have any questions about it, you can always record a voice memo on your phone. Send it to us at talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. Or you can tweet us at 21stshow to join the conversation. You're listening to The 21st. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.